Welcome to our weekly classified Grayman Intelligence audio brief. Over the next few minutes, Wesley from Super SE is going to share with you the most important survival intelligence stories that have occurred over the past week from the Grayman briefing. This timely and concise reporting will help you to stay sharp and be well ahead of the knowledge curve so that you can be better prepared for what's coming down the road. All right, Wes, take it away.
All right, thanks, David. So we'll get right into the brief. From the Grayman Briefing, this is a weekly recap of news and developments for your situational awareness. As always, with the bottom line up front.
Okay, as promised, this episode is all about government oversight and government overreach. We'll tag things as oversight when there's that potential or risk for overreach to be occurring, or if that incident or event is currently being investigated or seen by oversight committee. Things that are tagged as overreach are obviously government overreach. We're sharing this for you for your situational awareness, just so you can be aware of those trends that the country is progressing towards. We'll let you be the informed audience so you can make whatever course of action needs to be made, whether that be voting a certain way, participating in protests. We're not telling you what to do, we're just letting you know. So let's get right into it with our first government oversight brief. In Georgia, the Army National Guard has implemented a new recruiting campaign that will take place at high schools. They're setting up 67 geofences around public high schools throughout the state. The military is then going to capture device IDs, utilize tracking pixels, and monitor IP addresses to target the smartphones of students and centers of influence. This is going to be things like parents, coaches, and counselors. The documents describe the effort as a solicitation to influence students to enlist into the state's National Guard through a series of advertising campaigns that will be retargeted across the apps the students use, even when they're not at school, like when they get back home. Moving on, if you recall that New York Post story that the media shut down regarding Hunter Biden's laptop, well, a former CIA official testified before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committee advising that the now Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, quote, played a role in the inception and was the impetus in influencing those 51 former intelligence officials. These are the ones that signed the letter that falsely discredited the New York Post story. A lot of people have said that by delaying that public acceptance of those facts, it affected and altered the 2020 elections. The committee has ordered Blinken to identify the people he communicated with about drafting the statement and produce all documents referring to that statement by May 4th. And in the latest issue of the American Journal of Public Health, Department of Defense healthcare providers have called for military-dependent children as young as 7 years old to be provided free, gender-affirming therapy. The doctors claim that on the basis of human rights, military children have an inherent ability and right to consent to surgical procedures and hormone blockers to aid in their transitioning. So this publication asked the Defense Health Agency, DHA, to publicly declare their support for this child mutilation or gender-affirming therapy. The DOD actually responded opposing it, saying that rushing anyone into taking drugs or medical procedures should typically be made between a minor and their parent or guardian. Over in Michigan, the Democrat-led Senate Appropriations Committee gave final approval to use $175 million in taxpayer funds to help build a Gotion-owned electric vehicle battery plant. So Gotion is a subsidiary of Gotion High-Tech, which is situated in China, under the control of the Chinese Communist Party. Gotion also conditioned that they should have 20 to 50 Chinese experts that are operating and constructing the facility. This is being built in Grand Rapids, Michigan. After the approval was given, just so you know, all Republicans voted against it. They didn't want a Chinese-controlled battery factory in the state. But a lot of residents voiced their disappointment, saying any Chinese communist plant buying up 700 acres of Michigan land is a concern to all citizens throughout the state. And the CCP-controlled company represents communism and is a threat to our way of life and our God-given and constitutional freedoms. So yeah, that just got approved. And the Supreme Court of the United States will hear cases regarding the right of U.S. citizens to file lawsuits against public officials who block them on social media. So up until now, or even as we speak, you can't sue a politician who blocks you on social media. The argument arose after parents commented on public officials' accounts and different social media pages related to the school. The parents were posting comments about their educational concerns, and they were having their comments deleted. They were having their accounts blocked. They argued that it's a public forum and they should be able to comment on a school-related Facebook page or whatever it may be. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals previously found that elected officials were acting in their official capacities while operating their social media accounts, and that accounts are akin to public forum. The Ninth Circuit of Appeals had a differing opinion in a separate case, and it found that the public official's account was not a form of public forum. So now we're going to have this move to SCOTUS, where it'll finally be decided, can, you know, a president, can a governor, can the principal of your child's school block you on social media? Now, none of these posts that's in the argument here are anything vulgar or anything against policies. It's just speech that is negative towards the government or what's taking place in different government levels. So we're not talking about someone threatening people's lives. We're not talking about someone just cussing out a public official. They're just people sharing their thoughts and opinions, and they're being blocked. And finally, in our government oversight section, over in Georgia, the Fulton County District Attorney has disseminated a security awareness letter to local law enforcement. It's warning them that there may be a need for, quote, heightened security and preparedness pending an announcement of indictments related to a 2020 election inquiry. This involves President Trump and his allies. The case centers around a phone call that Trump made to the state's governor. The state, or at least the county district attorney here, is alleging election interference. The DA is expected to impanel a grand jury using findings from a special grand jury to bring charges against Trump. This would occur during sometime between July 11th and September 1st. So no specific date on when those announcements would be made. But the DA did advise law enforcement that the alleged intelligence indicated an announcement of charges, quote, may provoke a significant public reaction.
Now, before we get into part two of this podcast, I want to invite you to go check out the mothership for this podcast, ultimatesurvivaltips.com. While you're there, join our weekly Survival eMag for survival and preparedness tips, news, exclusive behind-the-scenes updates, subscriber-only discounts, and chances to win gear like the survival knife that blew up Kickstarter, our very own MSK1 multi-scenario knife, which is now available in four models to fit any budget. So here's the deal. When you engage with us over at ultimatesurvivaltips.com, share this podcast, or buy any of our product innovations, you're partnering with us to accomplish our mission to help everyone everywhere gain the mindset, skills, tactics, and gear knowledge they need to survive any emergency, crisis, or disaster in a positive and productive way. Thank you all for your continued encouragement and support. Now let's get back into today's podcast.
And we've got two things for you regarding government overreach. And in kind of a legal update, the first one here, since we talked about it a few weeks ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled against an effort to ban appliances in the city of Berkeley, California. Berkeley had attempted to subvert preemption laws by indirectly banning gas appliances via an enactment of a building code that prohibits natural gas piping in new buildings. Basically, it renders gas appliances useless, because without gas being provided to it, I mean, you get the deal. Anyway, the Ninth Circuit, they've now reversed a district court's dismissal of a California Restaurant Association's action alleging that the Energy Policy and Conservation Act preempted a City of Berkeley regulation that prohibits the installation of natural gas piping within those newly constructed buildings. So that is a positive here. It basically allows that case to move forward in the court system to finally determine, is the City of Berkeley, you know, doing something illegal or what? Obviously they're doing something illegal, or if not illegal, something unethical, something that's going to take away a whole form of heating, a whole form of cooking. All right, let's move on to the last one here. Civil disobedience. This is under our government overreach, and it also relates to major crime. The Department of Justice has conducted an investigation into Sage Femme Midwifery. This is a service out of New York. It's a midwife service. They're saying that this midwife service distributed 2,600 COVID-19 vaccine cards to citizens that were unvaccinated in a scheme to pretend to administer those shots. So people that wanted to retain their jobs, but were required to get vaccinated, they found out you could go to this midwifery, which was a certified location to get the vaccine. But you could go there and say, hey, I don't actually want to get the vaccine. I just want to get a card. And the midwifery would issue you that card. So the DOJ alleged that the service disposed of the vaccines instead of injecting them. The service then completed vaccine cards, issued them to citizens. DOJ's arrested 5 people, including the owner of that service. And the assistant attorney general said that this is, quote, the largest ever coordinated law enforcement action in the United States targeting a healthcare fraud scheme. The DOJ said, even though Sage Femme was a small midwife practice, the defendant's fraud turned it into one of the busiest vaccination sites in New York State, outpacing large state-run vaccination sites. So by basically providing an area for people to go to get their vaccine card without getting the controversial COVID-19 vaccine, they were busier than any other state-run vaccine site, according to the Attorney General's office. I actually have one more update for you. So the governor of New York has reached an agreement on that $229 billion state budget. Within the budget is a ban on gas stove appliances. The measure would prohibit the installation of fossil fuel equipment in construction of new one-family and some multifamily homes starting in 2025. The remaining multifamily homes and commercial buildings would receive the same ban in 2028. The governor said that New York is, quote, going to be the first state in the nation to advance zero emissions in new homes and buildings by banning gas appliances. So it looks like this one is going through, and New York will be the first entire state to ban gas appliances. So if you stay warm in such a cold state using gas as your source of energy to heat with, oh well, 2025, you gotta heat with electricity only. And in 2028, that'll apply to everyone within the state. That's it for the Gray Man Briefing, read by Super Essie. I've looked through all the recent government overreach, government oversight briefs that the Gray Man Briefing provided, and you can subscribe to these briefings in real time and get them unredacted in their full with all our sources by going to graymanbriefing.com. That's Grayman with an A. It's $5 a month, $50 a year. We also have a lifetime plan. If you hang tight for another minute or two, we'll give you a coupon code, and that'll take $1 off your monthly subscription, making it just $4 a month. We appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, or at least you'll hear me talking. Take care. Be safe.
So before we head out of here, let us know what you think of these briefs by emailing us at help@ultimatesurvivaltips.com, or you can contact us through our website and the home base for this podcast, ultimatesurvivaltips.com. If you'd like to be even further ahead of the preparedness curve and get daily briefs from Wes delivered privately to you, Wes is giving Survival Show podcast subscribers $1 off the normal monthly subscription cost of $5. So for only $4 a month, you can get daily intelligence briefings from Wes when you go over to graymanbriefing.com and enter code GBCUST at checkout. All right, that's about it. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, keep it simple, be positive, and stay sharp.